Good morning, everyone. Today is the 27th of January, 2022. It's Thursday morning. And today, Walt Stickel's going to be doing a program at the top of the hour. And I'm not sure. I think he's going to be talking about Donald Trump again. So we'll see you then. Okay, I am here with Walt Stickel, and he is doing an hourly broadcast every Thursday at noon, and then we try to get it out to you by the afternoon. And Walt covers a wide range of topics regarding not only what's going on in our current history, but he looks at the past as well as he's not a futurist, but he also looks at the reality of what we're having to face right now. And so I'm going to just turn it over to Walt. And it's his broadcast, so he can talk about virtually anything he wants to talk about. All right, Walt, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, good morning. And Larry, praise God. I just want to ask God this morning to be with us. We're living in perilous times, Lord. And a lot of people, Satan is spewing all kinds of confusion. And just be with us this morning and may this quiet each one of us, because it's in your hands. Amen. Larry, I want to talk this morning about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to teach us anything but I want to read when Donald Trump was president. First of all, I want to say this. We're living in perilous times, and we're living it kind of overwhelms me, kind of what's going on, but Donald Trump, the reason I want to talk about Donald Trump is, he's a perfect example. He's a textbook example to show you what Babylonian politics is all about. It's all a script. It's a theater. And Donald Trump is just playing out his part in the theater. And all of the people that watch Donald Trump and look at all those rallies he had, he would fill stadiums. People would wait 24 hours in advance to see Donald Trump. And he had the same old lingo when he'd start up one of his rallies, And I want to show you an example of theater and in history mixed together.
Can I get a little warm up on this, Roseanne?
You cannot take it out of American history, the influence that Roman Catholicism has on our country. And I want to read, and who is Donald Trump loyal to? Well, this last year, in the election, during the campaign, we had the Al Smith dinner. Now, I'm not the best speaker, but, bear with me. But, first of all, you have to know who the Al Smith dinner is. I am not into who runs what. But the influence of Rome every year they have a dinner, the Al Smith dinner. Al Smith was the first Roman Catholic. He was the first Roman Catholic to run for presidency. And he lost. Why did he lose? Because there was a time in our history when you couldn't have been a Catholic and run for president. Because the people had culture. They had truth. They knew history. They knew Reformation history. And so Al Smith, when he paved the way. He ran for president. It was back in the 30s. You know, I think it was about in the 1920s. Is when he ran for president. Well, every year they have an Al Smith charity dinner. It's a fundraiser. And I do suggest that you do a Google search on Al Smith dinner and look at how big what we're talking about. So anyway, that's it. You have to understand who Al Smith was. And it's about religion. When you look at it, so I'm going to every year since 1960, every year since 1960, every 4 years they have the Democrat and Republican candidate, and the cardinal of New York sits in the middle of them. The Democrat sits on the right. And the Republican sits on the left. And it's kind of a roast. It's a roast where they say funny things about their opponents. It's entertainment. It's charity. It's goodwill. When you look up the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation, that's what you want to search right there. You're going to find it's a huge organization, and they have dinners all year round. It's not just at one, but they raise millions of dollars and they give it to charities. And so this year, because of the pandemic, they had to send in their speech and a video. I went up to the website when this was going on, and this was up on the White House webpage. It's not there anymore. Of course, Trump's not president, and so they took this down. But, I labeled this, who do you think Trump is loyal to? Now, I'm not going to tell you the answer. I'm not, but you listen to, just listen. I'm going to read this whole speech. And Larry, too, I might read a quarter of it, and we might stop and talk a little bit about it and read the whole thing. So I might call on you. And so because of the pandemic now, and Biden did the same thing. Because you see, Rome controls both candidates. And they know who's going to win. Donald Trump didn't win the first election. People are crying about, and everybody thinking the election was stolen. It was stolen. No, it was theater. It was just theater. And why? I got to tell you this. What were they doing with Donald Trump in the White House? They were giving false hope to the Trumpites, to the Trump people. They were using the people. First of all, I had they're both deceased now. And I used to go to dinner with them many times, and they were very good to me. They were Roman Catholic. Guy and Mary. It would be real easy to turn this country around, okay? Because that's what they started to do. See, first of all, they were making up. The first thing they did is they made us energy free. There was no reason for us to be on foreign oil. I mean, this country, we got a glut of oil. I mean, there's oil on this earth. I mean, you know. So people started going back to work. They started that pipeline down there in North Dakota and stuff. And man, in the North Dakota and stuff, they had, you know, employment. It was booming. Okay. And while Trump was president, because all these other, when the country starts booming, the economy starts booming. And also we have to look at, you know, the country, we started, this, I have to admit to you people, listeners, you know, I'm just being honest with you. I'm talking about something that's already happened. And the next thing that Trump did is he started putting tariffs. And he was leveling the playing field between China and the economy. You know, I'm 77 years old and I remember a time when we didn't have Walmarts, okay? And everything in Walmart, you know, 70% of what Walmart's selling is from China. And of course, when he started, and of course, the playing field started, the economy started, you know, the stock market went up and, you know, everything was going good. We have to realize, I want to say this over and over, Donald Trump is following the script, and they're playing the script. And I used to tell Guy and Mary, I said, you know what, you know how I could make, if I was president, what would I do? What would I do? Well, the first thing I would do is I would turn all the ships around that are sailing for America, all the ships from China, I'd turn them around and send them back. And then I would tell the people, if you want everything, if you want it, we're going to build it. And I would cut China completely off. Because it was Richard Nixon who started the trade with China. You know, I mean, for years, people, you know, you go to Walmart, everything is from China. Everything is from China. And like I said, I turned the ships around, and the economy and employment would go to zero. There would be no unemployment. It would be 1936, Germany. In 1936, Germany, they had a labor shortage. and so what they did with 4 years with Donald Trump, is, give us false hope, you know, and he was giving us, they were giving us enough. He was told what to say. That wasn't Donald Trump. He was following a script. He's as phony as a $3 bill. You know, I mean, and he's just as phony. he's just as phony as the pandemic. On March 15th, 2020, I went to get a haircut. And there was a guy in the barbershop, and he said to me, he said, Donald Trump, he's stopped the economy tomorrow. You know, he's going to stop some travel and stuff. And I didn't. This is March 2020. I was getting ready to go to the San Juan Islands. And I even asked the guy, I said, well, are they going to stop travel? So anyway, I went to the San Juan Islands. And Donald Trump, on March 15th, 2020, shut the economy down. He shut the economy down over a pandemic. And I was up in the San Juans, and, you know, I was following this. I was following this. I was just following this, you know. And see, and then now we're a year away from the next election. And he caused enough confusion. But it was all scripted. It wasn't Donald Trump. This is all, everything that's happened this last couple of years in this pandemic has all been scripted. This is war. To shut down your economy. And if America had ignored this, this pandemic wouldn't have happened. If America it just went on, yeah, I mean, they stopped travel. And I was kind of in shock for 3 months. I was up in the San Juan Islands, and every day I'd go for a hike, and I couldn't believe I had people. I was hiking in the woods. It's a beautiful island. I was on Orcas Island in the San Juans. And they closed down the park because of the pandemic. I remember walking into the park and seeing two ladies coming at me one day, and they run into the woods. They were afraid of me. You know, I mean, you know, I'm trying to keep my sanity, you know. And that's what I did for about three. I stayed there till March, April, May, and I came back on about June 30th. Is when I came back. But Donald Trump also, 4 or 5 months before that, in a news conference, he actually said there's a storm coming. And the media asked him, well, what do you mean? A storm's coming. He said, you'll see. And then I watched all the news conferences. They are the press. And one day they had a guy. I looked at it. His name was Anthony Fauci. I looked at that guy and I said, "That guy's a Roman Catholic." And I looked up his bio. He graduated from St. Regis High School, a Jesuit high school. I'm kind of getting, but I'm explaining that Donald Trump is a player. This pandemic is coming from Rome. Just this morning, I was talking to Larry before we started. There's 630 hospitals, Catholic hospitals in this country. The influence that they have on medicine and old Fauci got up there and he told us not to wear masks and wear, you know, I mean, it was confusion for a while, but America, we were patriotic. We got to save our country. people slapped on their masks. They were so compliant. They didn't have to bring an army out. They still haven't had. Now there are places in the world today, in Austria and certain places. I mean, in Germany and places, people are demonstrating heavily. Thousands of people fill streets. They're not showing that on the media. But there's this country has been the most compliant. I mean, all of a sudden, then they had the. I was a truck driver at one time. Well, they closed all the restaurants, all of this that I'm talking about is all staged. It's another 9/11. You know, I mean, it was another moonshot. I mean, we are living in an age, and God tells us in the Bible, I think it's in there at least four times, but let no man deceive you. And of course, the children today, I mean, they're following their parents. But understand, the people today have been through a moonshot. You know, and also the first thing they taught them is heliocentric. They told them that they're a rocket ball going through space. And then we had 9/11. No airplanes hit the towers. You know, I'm gonna read, but who do you think Trump is loyal to? This speech that he gave at the Al Smith dinner, but you know, what I want to express is Larry has given me the opportunity to kind of spill my guts. I'm 77 years old. I flew across the United States. I was reading a book yesterday on Charles Lindbergh, Barnstorming. I went across the United States in 1977 in a 150. Little Cessna 150. Well, they've taken that away from the people. Little people like myself I'll never be a pilot again, because a brand new 172 sells for $396,000. But that's another story. They're taking I'm just getting a chance. I didn't rehearse what I was going to say. I didn't rehearse it. I'm not reading off a piece of paper. But, yeah, 1977, I flew across the United States I landed at Dulles Airport, took a bus, my wife and my daughter, we took a bus into Washington, D.C. and spent about 3 or 4 days. And of course, my state of mind at the time, I was still a tourist. I was still going to the White House, walking up to the obelisk. We always hear all this separation of church and state. Well, I remember an Adeola said this. How do you have separation of church and state if an obelisk in your capital and the president looks out of the Oval Office at an obelisk? And we have the Basilica. We have the Capitol building. And in the dome of the Capitol, we have the apotheosis. They have Washington deified up in the rotunda. And guess who painted? A Roman Catholic painted that picture. And in 2015, we had a Jesuit Pope come speak to a joint session of Congress. It was just Bush Jr. that Ratzinger came over. And that was people didn't think nothing of it. But everything I'm saying is up on the internet if you want to see it. You know, it goes back to that. Who do you think Trump is loyal to? Well, I'm going to start this letter now, and let you. I'm not going to tell you who Trump is loyal to. I'm going to read the words, and you can go up to my webpage and read it yourself. Print out a copy and read it. No, this is Donald Trump. You know, he says, "It is a profound honor to address the 75th annual Al Smith Dinner. For generations, this wonderful event has been revered institution in New York and New York life. I fondly remember attending with my father for a long time ago. His father used to go to the Al Smith dinner. I was a young man, but never forgot it. This organization's incredible tradition of Catholic charity exemplifies the very best, not only of this city, but of this country. I want to thank Cardinal Dolan, a very special man, for his extraordinary stewardship of the Archdiocese and his deep dedication to God and to our nation. I also want to thank him for all of the help he's given me in so many things, in so many different ways. Thank you much, Cardinal. We were very much appreciated. Let me also thank Mary Erdős, the entire Alfred Smith Memorial Foundation. And you know, tonight's Al Smith dinner is unlike any other. Sadly, our country and the entire world have been stuck with a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic. China shouldn't have let it happen, but it did. When the virus came in from China, we saw New Yorkers respond with the same grit and tenacity, courage, and selflessness that have always defined this city that we love so much. Now, you know, I just want to say, everything in this, what I just said, you know, in this letter, first of all, the pandemic is a false flag. It's all staged. Here we live in a pandemic for 2 years. We've been playing pandemic. Nobody's dying. People are dying. People die every day. But let me go on. As you know, tonight's Al Smith dinner is unlike any other. Sadly, our country and the entire world have been stuck with a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic. Doctors and nurses worked around the clock. The heroes, the New York Police Department, Fire Department, we love them. And they endorse me. And so I like them. We love them. And they endorse me. So I like them even more. But they are great. New York's finest. And the fire department, the bravest. They are the bravest. They're great. I know them all very well. And others, first responders, risk their lives to save others. And of course, the Catholic community and the men and women of the New York Archdiocese answered the call and frankly answered it like nobody else could. In Catholic schools, hospitals, shelters, soup kitchens, and food pantries. You serve with a supreme devotion to your fellow citizens. The Alfred Smith Memorial Foundation made it an historic $8 million gift to support the children and families of the New York. Thank you. You showed the world the essence of the Catholic faith. I've known about it for a long time. I've lived right next to the magnificent Catholic Church, as Jesus Christ said in the Gospel, quote, "Everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. As president, I want to thank the Catholic community for the magnificent generosity you showed the Americans' hour of need. We mourn for all of those who host a loved one, and in their memory, we will defeat the virus. To advances in treatment, we have reduced the fatality rate by 85% since April. It's just numbers. It's math. And the CDC was founded by the Jesuits. Through advances in treatment, we have reduced the fatality rate by 85% since just April. We are on track to develop and distribute a vaccine before the end of the year, and maybe substantially before. And I just want to say that the end of the pandemic is in sight, and next year will be one of the greatest years in the history of our country. From the very beginning of our republic, Catholics were uplifted and enriched our nation beyond measure. Catholics, like Charles Carroll, helped secure American independence. Women like St. Elizabeth Ann Seton founded a movement that created thousands of schools and lifted children out of the poverty. And the great Al Smith, the original happy warrior, that's what he was. He was a happy warrior. I know it well. I consider myself to be a happy warrior, but it's not so easy in these days, in these times. But he was a happy warrior of American politics. He spent his life fighting for hardworking Americans and battling the anti-Catholic prejudice that you see even today among coming out of the Democratic Party. I mean, there's so much I could stop here and we could talk. I think the people that listen to this broadcast know who Charles Carroll was, but the average person in America, including Donald Trump, he didn't write this. He doesn't know who Charles Carroll was. He doesn't know true history of America. That America, less than 1% of the population in 1776, less than 1% were Roman Catholics. The original 13 colonies were all Protestants. Even the Catholic Maryland, the people that held civil power had to be Protestants. It was written right in their constitution. And today we have 7 out of the 9 chief justices that are Roman Catholic. We have a Catholic president. I mean, that is why as president, one of my top priorities is to defend religious liberty and the cherish of faith and faith-based education in our nation's life, to protect your God-given rights. I was recently never has Rome protected or could give us any rights. When you understand Romanism is I don't want to get into that right now. To protect your God-given rights, I was recently honored to nominate one of our most brilliant legal minds, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, to the United States Supreme Court, and that was an honor. She is a proud graduate of the University of Notre Dame Law School, where her professor, one of the most respected anywhere in the country, said she was the single greatest student he'd ever had in class. We will not stand for any attacks against Judge Barrett's faith. Anti-Catholic bigotry has absolutely no place in the United States of America. It, it, three dominates. It predominates. Excuse me for not being able to pronounce that word. In the Democratic Party, and we must do something immediately about it, like a Republican win, and let's make it really a big one. To support the noble mission of the Catholic schools, my administration is working to advance school choice. It was my greatest honor to help Catholic Church with its schools. They needed hundreds of millions of dollars nationwide, and I got it for them. Nobody else. I got it for them. I hope you remember that on November 3rd, but I got it for them, and it was an honor to do it. I did it at the request of Cardinal Dolan and others of your leaders. They really needed it. We took care of the situation. Very important. We are once again standing with the Catholic charities and healthcare providers, such as the Little Sisters of the Poor. We've been with them all the way in the long fight. We are fighting the Catholic adoption agencies and fighting hard. And we are defending the sacred right to life. Remember that when you vote. That's so important, and so important to the Supreme Court. Every child born and unborn is made in the holy image of God. Few institutions in history have done more for New York, more for America, or more for people of the world than the Catholic Church. From the parishes of the city came the soldiers who fought to end slavery, the workers who raised up the towering skylight of Manhattan, and the chaplains who have landed in the beaches of Guadalcanal, the nuns who marched for civil rights, and the police officers and firefighters who we love so much, who ran into the World Trade Center on March 11th, 2001. Now, more than ever, our nation needs a renewal of the values that this organization promotes, and that is Catholic faithful live out each and every day in peace. Let me say that again. Now, more than ever, our nation needs a renewal of the values that the organization promotes, and that the Catholic faithful live out each and every day in peace. We love the Catholic people. We love the Catholic religion. And above all, we respect it greatly. As president, I will always support you in your effort to serve your fellow citizens and to lift up all humanity. I will protect the Catholic Church, and I will defend the rights of the religious believers of every race, religion, color, and creed. Thank you once again for the Al Smith Foundation. God bless you. God bless New York, and God bless America. You know, I realized as I read this, if people do not have any history, if you don't understand the history of the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, this is blasphemy. This is propaganda at its highest level. You know, I had a friend of mine, and we were talking, this is right before the election, and I was at his house, and I asked him, I said, what do you know about the Reformation? What do you mean? What is that? You see, this organization, the same organization that Donald Trump had said, we will defend the rights of religious believers of every race, religion, color, and creed. This is the same organization that ran the Inquisition in the Dark Ages. And you know, and how do you change the culture of a people you take their history away. And Donald Trump kind of takes my breath away. Donald Trump, during his administration, appointed 3 Supreme Court judges, and every single one was a Catholic. And I believe there's 7 now. Gitzberry, the Mintzberry, but she passed away. You know, she was Jewish, but he replaced her with another Catholic because all 3 of his selections were Catholic. So the judges are supposed to interpret the law. But when you understand history, you understand who is interpreting the Constitution. You know, do you have any comments on that letter, Larry?
Well, it's absolutely staggering, you know, to realize that in his communication, he cited, you know, Carroll. And like you said, most people don't even know who the Carroll family is. And he also talked about how that he himself single-handedly was responsible for getting hundreds of millions of dollars funneled into Rome because they needed it and because the cardinal asked him for it. You know? And he also talked about the importance of Roman Catholicism to the founding of this country. And he also talked about the importance of Roman Catholicism to New York City and New York City politics. And so it's pretty evident that Donald Trump, you know, is a major supporter of Roman Catholicism, and not just Roman Catholicism, also he's a major supporter to Zionism. He won the Tree of Life Award. But, you know, if by his own admission, this cardinal that he mentioned asked him for money. This cardinal went to Donald Trump and requested these millions of dollars that Donald Trump gave him, and Donald Trump complied. If that is an absolute criminal, fraudulent activity, you know, I don't know what is. Anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on it, Walt. Your mic is muted, Walt.
You know, as I look back, you know, and I my book, The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, Book 2. You know, understand understand there's only been one country in this world that's ever been had a Protestant government. It didn't last long. And I brought this up, and of course I'm not I don't have a PhD, and I'm not supposed to know some of the things that I know. Just a second. Are you there, Larry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to know some of the things I know. But there's only been one country in history that's ever legislated Catholicism illegal. And Larry, could you get the book out? It's in the book two, and I'd like to have you read the Royal Declaration. I'll find the chapter.
I think it's page 79.
Yes, page 79. Page 79. Now, before Larry reads this, what is the Royal Declaration? What is the Royal Declaration? The Royal Declaration was when the king or queen, the new king or queen was sworn in England, she had to state this declaration.
Okay, so we're gonna.
And by the way, now below is the Royal Declaration from the Catholic Encyclopedia. Now this isn't something that this came right out of the Catholic Encyclopedia. Because one thing I will say, even in this book, even in this book that I put together, I have a chapter in here written by a Roman Catholic, on the history of America. And the reason I put it in the book is because now you can't call me as being prejudiced you can't accuse me of any bigotry. This is written by a Roman Catholic. But go ahead, Larry, and read the Royal Declaration, and read it slow. It's not very long, but
Right. Well, do you want me to read the first part, or you just want me to read starting with the Catholic Encyclopedia?
Just a declaration out of the encyclopedia.
Okay. All right. I, by the grace of God, King or Queen of England, Scotland, and Ireland, defender of the faith, do solemnly and sincerely in the presence of God profess, testify, and declare that I do believe that in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper there's not any transubstantiation of the elements of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. At or after the consecration thereof by any person whatsoever, and that the invocation or adoration of the Virgin Mary or any other saint and the sacrifice of the Mass as they are now used in the Church of Rome are superstitious and idolatrous. And I do solemnly in the presence of God profess, testify, and declare that I do make this declaration and every part thereof in the plain and ordinary sense of the word read unto me as they are commonly understood by English Protestants without any evasion, equivocation, or mental reservation whatsoever, and without any dispensation already granted me by the Pope, or any other authority or person whatsoever, or without any hope of any such dispensation from any person or authority whatsoever, without thinking that I am or can be acquitted before God or man, or absolved of this declaration, or any part thereof, although the Pope or any other person or persons or power whatsoever should dispense with or annul the same or declare that it was null and void from the beginning, end quote.
Well, that is the part of history. You know, when I used to look at the American Revolution, I used to say this and didn't really realize what I was saying. I didn't have it. The only history that I had was from 1776, when George Washington chopped down the cherry tree and became the president, okay? But any history prior to 1776, it was not in my head. And that's what we're facing today. You know, people, I mean, we are living in very perilous times. You know, the beast of Rome has taken the White House, has taken, I don't want to get into controversy here, but, you know, the second beast of Revelation in chapter 13, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they claim it was the United States, okay? Well, I actually see it the same way, but just a little different. The second beast is the United Nations, and the United Nations is in New York City. And what we see happening today is the dark ages all over again with the pandemic. How far they'll keep this going, I do not know. But I know one thing in the little town that I live in, that people are voluntarily wearing their masks. Last night, I go into the store and I don't wear the mask. So last night I went into the store and I said, I'm going to count how many other people don't have a mask. I found one of the person in there that didn't have a mask on. I can safely say that 95% of the people in that were wearing a mask voluntarily. And they're voluntarily following, you know, and this is just history repeating itself. There's nothing new under the sun, as it says in the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. This little trick of the pandemic, this is nothing new. You know, and you say, how did Rome get its influence? To create an ideology, you have to control education. And that's what's happened. How were they able to get this pandemic going and faking a pandemic? There is no pandemic. It's all a hoax. How did they do it? Let no man deceive you, and they've taken our history away from us. And Anthony Fauci, you know, the big kingpin and Donald Larry, I think we're almost out of time, Larry.
Right. Yeah, that's right. We are. And I think you're right. I think that all of these organizations, the Center for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, Fauci, and the medical mafia that you pointed out that are 635 hospitals in the United States are under the auspices of the medical mafia, the Roman Catholic Church. Now we see why and how they are able to implement this. So I'm glad that you were able to come on and kind of bring the truth to the table. And let no man deceive you, you know. Roman Catholicism and communism are synonymous. Okay? And we can see how many millions of people were absolutely slaughtered during the Great Inquisition. Millions of people. You know, it was a lot more than 6 million people, I'll tell you that. And you can draw your own conclusions why I make that statement. So, Walt, I want to thank you for coming on today. And we'll be looking forward to next week's broadcast. And I'm going to go over and stop the recording now. Do you have any final words before I close it out?
Well, I just want to, anybody that's listening to this, I am not a, you know, public speaker. And what I said this morning was hard to say, because every bit of what I said is the truth. There's nothing that I have to resend and take down what I said. I mean, you know, the influence of Rome on the world scene is so enormous. It's overwhelming. You know, like I mentioned, you know, this country was founded, the American Revolution started in 1776, and then we officially became a nation in 1789. That was the same year we had our first Jesuit university, Georgetown University.
Now we have 17,000 parishes throughout the United States. 17,000.
Yes, 17,000. You have to let that roll. And one time I said to a friend of mine, I said, there's nobody that owns more real estate in this country than Rome does. You know, and you know, you want to deny it. There's 244 universities, 28 Jesuit universities. Jesuit universities. There's no other country on the face of the earth.
I think we ought to coin a new term, Roman Catholic deniers.
And Judeo Christianity, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It's Judeo Roman Catholicism.
Right.
That's the religion of America. You know, and it's and I'm just saying this to the brothers and sisters that. I'm just saying this to the brothers and sisters. You know, it's a hard pill to swallow, the founding of America. But America was founded to do exactly what it did. The pandemic started in 1776. Look at our history. Look at the Civil War. 700,000 people were killed. More people were killed in the Civil War than all the wars combined. We only lost 400,000 in World War II. Now that's a lot of people. Okay, 400,000. Don't get me wrong, but we lost 700,000 in the Civil War. It was a bloodbath, and you couldn't have had it without the Jesuits.
In other words, you know, sometimes we have to take it one day at a time and realize, you know, that God is sovereign. And, could you express
Dayon said last night.
Dayon, could you express what he said?
Yes, basically what he said was that we need to rest in Christ, and that once we understand that God is sovereign and in control of all events, from everlasting to everlasting, from everlasting past to the everlasting future, and he's foreordained all things that come to pass, and even the bounds of our habitation are in his control, that gives us great rest, that we don't have to worry about anything, that perfect love casteth out fear. And so even though we don't hide our heads down in the sand as to the evil around us and we expose the evil, we still must understand that God is sovereign over all things.
Amen. Amen.
All right, well, we're going to close this out. We've gone now just a little over an hour, hour and 30 seconds, and we will plan on being back with you next week, this same time, Walt.
Okay.